From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. On this week's show, lawmakers and members of the fishing industry attended a Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act reauthorization hearing in Soldotna. There, they tackled fleet consolidation, limited access fisheries, and an extended pionology. Also, two women in Sleep Mute are using a fish wheel to make up for limited gillnet fishing on the Kuskokwim River. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs.
Timed to coincide with the 25th annual Kenai River Classic Invitation-Only Fishing Derby, Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan brought his subcommittee on oceans, atmosphere, fisheries, and Coast Guard to Soldotna for a hearing on the reauthorization of the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act. Congress periodically reviews the act, giving lawmakers a chance to fine-tune or make changes where needed. As KDLL's Jay Barrett reports, one theme was addressed by many of the dozen invited experts who testified.
Fleet consolidation. It's a predictable outcome of limited access privilege fisheries, or LAPs, in the acronym-filled parlance of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, or MSA. A limited access fishery is one that's been privatized in some way. For example, in the Bering Sea, the crab fishery was rationalized more than 10 years ago, resulting in a fleet today that is just a fraction the size it was before privatization. That's because when the owners of boats also became the owners of crab quota, they could buy or lease that quota, and one boat could do the fishing of many. Some put the loss of crewmen and skipper jobs from the year before rationalization to the next at over 900.
In Alaska, the problem is now too few fishermen, not too few fish.
Linda Benkin of Sitka testified on behalf of the Halibut Coalition and the Longline Fishermen's Association.
We found that the conservation and management benefits commonly attributed to limited access can be achieved with limited consolidation of fishing fleets, and that more fishermen making a living is better for our communities. In addressing the LAP provisions of the Act, we ask that you and the committee focus on supporting rather than reducing fleet size.
A proponent of a limited access fishery is Kodiak's Julie Bonney, executive director of the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank and a lobbyist for the trawl industry. Senator Sullivan asked her to describe how an LAP differs from an open-to-entry fishery. She did so with a dessert analogy.
So a race for fish is trying to get the most pie that you can before your neighbor eats more than you do. The catch share program basically allocate to individuals or cooperatives, basically cuts that pie up into individual pieces, and each participant that has a fork at the table gets a slice of the pie. And then you can choose to eat that as slowly or as fast as you want and whenever you want.
Duncan Fields, also of Kodiak, testified on behalf of the Gulf of Alaska Coastal Communities Coalition and expanded on Bonnie's pie analogy in his rebuttal to it.
What she didn't amplify is that once those pieces are cut, first of all, they're not all even pieces. And then only those people initially allocated a piece of the pie ever get to eat dessert. That's the barrier to entry. It creates the graying of the fleet and the problem for young fishermen. That's it. That's what we're facing.
In his testimony, Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton asked that Congress not take any action that would further consolidation.
And we'd ask your committee and the U.S. Congress to avoid imposing programs here in Alaska outside the council process in either this or other legislation that could result in promoting consolidation, restricting competition in the processing industry, making access to fisheries more difficult for our resident fishermen, or generally having a negative impact on our fishing communities' economies.
Other topics speakers addressed during the three-hour hearing included changes to offshore sports fishing regulations, subsistence fishing, and the community development quota program in Bering Sea villages. We have a link to the meeting and the testimony given on our website, kdll.org. In Kenai, I'm Jay Barrett.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans.
Kodiak fishermen are having a great pink salmon season compared to last year's run. There are not only plenty of fish, but the run's lasting longer than expected. KMXT's Mitch Borden reports.
There are a lot of pink salmon surging into Kodiak's rivers right now, which is weird. James Jackson, a biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says usually the pink salmon run should be about done. Until a recent storm, though, commercial fishermen were still catching plenty of fish.
Before the big blow came in there, we were still harvesting, 700,000 pinks a day, which is a pretty large amount for this time of year. So it's been a long, protracted run.
Overall, the commercial season's been pretty average, about 22 million pinks caught so far. But Jackson says, even in a great year, the region would only see around 500,000 pinks caught a day in late August. Why do you think this pink season is lasting longer than you guys thought?
It's a good question. Nobody knows.
No one has any idea?
I mean, we could speculate about a lot of things, but, it's best not to speculate.
The overall harvest has fallen short of predictions. Jackson says that hasn't stopped fishermen from being surprised by the amount of salmon they are seeing.
It's also been a boon for most people. Most people thought we were going to have a little below average season.
Which is understandable after last year's dismal pink salmon season, where only 3.2 million were caught. Jackson says seeing so many pinks run for so long has been phenomenal. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Mitch Borden.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
With gillnet fishing limited to only a few days on the Kuskokwim for most of the summer, some people on the river turn to alternative ways to filling their smokehouses. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur traveled to Sleetmute this summer, where two women were running a fish wheel.
We need to check it more.
Somebody check it.
A surge of red salmon is swimming up the Kuskokwim River. Barb Carlson and Maggie Bobby need to find someone to check their fish wheel this evening.
Yeah, because they'll be going back up, won't they?
Barb and Maggie usually check the wheel themselves, but they both have enough salmon and want others to get a chance.
I'll bet you by the time we're done, there's 200 people that have eaten fish that came out of that wheel.
That's Barb, the louder voice.
All I need is like 4 days, and I'll be done. So,
and that's Maggie.
2 days smokes.
Barb and Maggie have been running their wheels since May. Gray-headed with dark, expressive eyebrows, the pair, both about 60 years old, have been fishing together for nearly two decades.
Y'all are wearing the same hat.
It's our fishing hat.
We're on the beach in front of Maggie's cabin. It's off the grid, only accessible by boat, and a half mile from Barb's. Maggie picked 60 reds this afternoon from the wheel and is taking a break from cutting. The day is perfect. Blue sky, warm sun, green hills, and the Kuskokwim flowing by.
That's what I miss when I go other places, listening to the water, the waves, the wind, because I don't have electricity.
The friends started running their wheel 3 years ago as the king salmon stocks dropped and fishing restrictions grew tighter.
And we could fish when it was closed because we could throw back all the kings and dogs, whatever fish we didn't want.
And the kings are all released and they're amazingly alive. These things are jumping and struggling.
They're not bruised.
Maggie's daughter and grandchildren have come down to help cut. The issue of who's picking fish from the wheel this evening isn't resolved. Barb and I head across the river to the wheel. Barb climbs out of her boat onto a wooden raft anchored a dozen feet from shore. Beside her rotate the wheel's long arms.
It just goes round and round all by itself. Here comes one.
A 6-foot-wide wire basket lifts a red salmon from the water. Rotating upwards, it slides the twisting fish into a box below. In midair, silver scales flash in the sun. The wheel's wooden arms stretch 12 feet and form a cross. Each arm is a paddle that catches the water, turning the wheel. The baskets are at the end of two of the paddles. They drop the fish in a hole in the raft where a wire box sits sunk in the water.
So how many fish would you say are in here?
It's really hard to tell by looking, but I'm going to say there's probably 20 or 30 in there right now. And in fact, that looks like a king. If I can grab him, I'll release him right now.
Barb grabs a dip net and shoves it in the box, reaching for the king. But it disappears. All we see is the grayish blue of red salmon and the green of chum sliding and vanishing. Both Barb and Maggie say they'll never go back to setting a net.
I can spend hours out here on a day like today just listening to the wheel go around. On a whole nother subject, I need to go and get to my telephone and try to line somebody up for the evening pick before we let this run any longer.
It's a toss-up on whether the fish wheel saves labor compared to gill nets. You have to check the wheel twice a day. It's heavy, and you have to push it out on shore in the fall and pull it out in the spring. You have to raise the wheel during high water and clear out brush. Sometimes that brush can be whole trees that break a paddle. But the wheel saves gas because there's no drifting. The fish are in better condition because they're fresher, and you only keep the fish you want and let the rest continue on alive. A few hours later, we're back at the wheel. No one else could make it out for the evening, but Maggie's daughter and her two friends are helping.
Let the kings go.
Using dip nets, the girls haul the thrashing fish from the box.
There you go, shovel them in.
They toss the twisting fish into Barb's boat.
There are so many dogs in there earlier.
Yeah, there are so many more reds now.
Dozens of fat, shiny reds fill the bow. The chums get tossed in the water along with the kings.
Bye-bye.
Barb shoves a knife into the gills, bleeding the fish. Red blood and mucus smear the writhing bodies and splatter Barb.
Oh, it's a king. He can go. Thanks a million, girls. Now you can go swim and wash it all off.
Half the fish will go to one of the girls' mothers. The other half will go to the owner of Sleep Mutes Only Store. The fish wheel, a design from the past, may turn out to be a design for the future.
Fishing is women's work.
In Sleep Mute, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fishers Report. We had help from KDLL's Jay Barrett in Kenai, KMXT's Mitch Borden in Kodiak, and KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla Deroche.